Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find six lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Ches. Before we engage in the reading of the Mishnah text, let us point out that we have a Mishnah that, in my estimation, is a very vague Mishnah. As you read it initially, it will go under scrutiny from the Gemara, through the Gemara, several attempts in trying to explain the Mishnah, and Emir Tzashem, when we're finished with the Sukkah, so you can then look back at the Mishnah and see it in a different light. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Aklali, a general topic heading, which reads, Tzuros Shonos Shel Kinyan Chalipin, different forms of Kinyan Chalipin. Kinyan Chalipin in its standard form or its popular form involves one giving something of a symbolic nature. The purchaser of an item gives the seller of the item something of a symbolic nature, and as soon as the seller receives from the buyer this item, so the buyer then gains ownership of it. The Mishnah, as we will read it, will be best understood as we have Rashi accompany the reading of the Mishnah. So now the Mishnah. Kol hanase domim ba'achir, kevon shezocha zeh, nischayev zeh b'chalipov. Now Rashi. Kol hanase domim ba'achir. Anything that's nase dom ba'achir, what does that mean? Shedakoi l'sitoi b'domim. Kishikayin chayfetz echod. That which is given as value when you are buying a particular item. Vahashta salkadaitoch dematabea also lashminan. When we say that which you give bedomim as value or as payment when you are acquiring an item, what is it that you give as payment? You give matbea, coins or cash. Kevan shizochoze. Nischayev zeh b'chalipov. When once the buyer gives the seller the coins, then the buyer becomes the owner and responsible for anything that happens to the item. Hecha denosnoi b'teras chalipin v'lo b'teras domim. When you give the coin not as toras domim, as a means of payment, but you give it as Chalipin, as that symbolic gesture which clinches a deal. Elokein shekinin besudar. As we know popularly, the kinyan sudar, the kinyan established through the offering a piece of fabric or a handkerchief to a seller on the part of a buyer, and in exchange, the buyer gets the item. Kein sholaf ish na'aloi. This is a quote from the Book of Ruth, where a kinyan chalipin took place with the individual removing his shoe and giving it to his friend, and that was the gesture that established the deal. Rashi goes on, Kevon shezocha boy hamakne, o moshach zuz echod min hakine b'teres kinyan chalipin, when the seller received the coin and drew the coin unto himself from the buyer. Betoras kinyan chalipin means as if it were the means of establishing the kinyan chalipin. Once again, not as a payment for the item, but as a symbolic deal clincher. The buyer becomes obligated with regard to the item acquired wherever it may be, im mesu o im nevdu, if the item died, if it was an animal, or if the item got lost. Olav l'shalem ha'mois shepoise loseis lo. The purchaser is obligated anyway to eventually pay for the item in accordance with the amount they had agreed upon. That is so when the seller takes the cloth or the coin as chalipin. Nikne hamekach lalokeh b'chol makom shehu. The item being transacted becomes owned by the buyer wherever the item may be. So it's an instant transfer of ownership. That is what the Kinyan Seudah accomplishes, and in this case the coin is being used as the Kinyan Seudah, as if it were the piece of cloth. It is then being used as the symbolic deal clincher. And when we say symbolic, it doesn't mean something that's something simple of a ritualistic nature, but it's an actual business transaction. The deal is clinched, and you are thereby obligated to pay for the item, regardless of whatever happens to the item henceforth. That's the first part of the Mishnah. So according to this understanding, Kol Hanaseh Domen Bachir is a reference to coins, and when the coin is given as a symbolic deal clincher, the deal is clinched. And Nischaya Zeh B'Chalipov means that the purchaser becomes obligated with regard to the item no matter what happens, whether it was an animal that died, or if it was an item that got lost, you have to pay for it. And now, Ketzad. Ketzad, we continue in the Mishnah. Ketzad is, generally speaking, used to illustrate that which we just said. So just for the third time, what did we just say? We just said that if a coin is presented as a sudar, as the classic handkerchief, it too, the coin becomes the deal clincher. Ketzad is a word introducing an illustration of that which we just said. So as you read on in the Mishnah, you would expect to see something about a coin being given as a sudar. You're not going to see that. And this is going to be a problem when we get to the Gemara. So the Mishnah goes on to say, how is that which we just said? Hichlif shor b'poro b'ochamor b'shor. There are people that are, here again we're going to translate, someone is exchanging his shor, his ox, for someone's cow. Ochamor b'shor, or someone is exchanging his donkey for someone else's ox. Kevon shezocha zeh, nischayev zeh b'chalipov. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Hichliv shor b'poro, kevon shemoshach bal haporo es hashor. When the owner of the cow draws the ox, niknes poro lo kech b'chomokum shehi. The poro becomes now the ownership of the lokeach, of the purchaser, wherever it may be. So in this case, if the owner of the ox is now becoming the purchaser of the para, that ox owner owns the para. As soon as the one who was interested in acquiring the ox draws the ox, no action is done on the para itself. The action of drawing was done on the ox, and the para becomes automatically transferred. Shehi v'oinseha olav. The para and whatever happens to it are now the obligation of the ox owner. Over Gemara Porech, the Gemara will ask, my ketzad, what is the purpose of the Mishnah in offering this illustration? Hayavu asil ashminen, since the purpose of the illustration would have been to explain the matbea nase chalipin, that a coin can become the chalipin means of transfer. Shafapi shebeteres domim kaimelon demois ein koiners ela mashichas hamekach. Even though a coin, when you speak of it in terms of payment or value payment, a cash payment, does not clinch deals when you're dealing with portables. Only the drawing of the item. Well, that's true in general when cash is being used as a cash payment, as a value payment. However, ki avinu niale b'toras kinyan sudar, koni ki sudar. When you give the coin to the seller as a sudar deal clincher, not as a money payment, then the presentation of the coin clinches the deal, just like a sudar. Well, hafei lei lemisti, the Mishnah then should have taught ketzad hichlif mois bepara. The illustration would have been someone is exchanging a coin for a para, and it would have said as soon as the cow owner takes the coin, the cow gets transferred to the buyer, the one who had presented the coin. Mishnah didn't say that, though. This will preoccupy our Gemara. So now we turn to the Gemara. But before we do so, we're going to note that a diamond appears on the last line of the Gemara. And when we get to that last line, we'll have to introduce what's the purpose of the diamond marking as it appears throughout the Gemara. Now the Gemara text, Chalipin my nihu. The Mishnah made reference to Chalipin. What is the Chalipin? The word Chalipin is a word, Lachlif means to exchange. It's the deal clincher that's accomplished through the exchange of an item. What is the chalipin referred to in this Mishnah? When we read the opening line of the Mishnah, we said, Kol anase domen bi'acher, kevan shezocho zeh nischayev zeh b'chalipov. So what is the chalipin? Rashi, ma'inihu matbeya, shehu hanitan domen bi'acher b'chol mokoyim. The Mishnah used that expression, nase domen bi'acher. What is it that is given as value payment in all cases? It's a coin. Coins are used as the value payment. And Rashi says, Vashmina masnisa dafagav de b'toras domim kaimelon de lo koni. The Mishnah is revealing to us that in general, when you pay cash for an item, for a portable, it does not clinch the deal. You need to draw the item. Kiave loy b'toras chalipin koni. When you use a coin as toras chalipin, as the mechanism for activating a chalipin transaction, that symbolic deal clincher type transaction, the coin does work, no less than a handkerchief would work. So now the Gemara. The Gemara said, chalipin, mind you, what is the item given as chalipin in this Mishnah? Matbeya. So the Gemara says, oh, a coin? Shma mino, should we conclude matbea naase chalipin? That a coin can be used as the means of establishing a kinyan chalipin? And why is this such a statement of wonderment? Why is this so, in the eyes of the Gemara, so amazing? The reason for this is because the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia says, ein matbea naase chalipin. A coin does not serve in the capacity of the sudar, of the fabric or the handkerchief. So we're back to square one. What is our Mishnah saying? Now, the diamond marking, and it's introduced on the side. If you skim ahead, by the way, and you scroll down, or you turn to Daf Omid Beis, to Chav Ches Omid Beis, you'll see a few of these diamond markings highlighting the expression Hochi Ko'omar. So under the Mivneh heading, under the structural note, the diamond appears, and it says Hochi Ko'omar, Gishois Shoinois, different approaches, Lahavonas HaMishnah, to understanding the Mishnah. Chelik Mehen Aliva de Maskona, V'chelik Mehem Kedei Lahazbir Havamina. Some of these diamonds are presenting the way the Gemara wants you to understand the Mishnah in the final sense, the final reading, and some of them will introduce the Hav Amina, the what did the Mishnah, what was your thinking when you tried to explain the Mishnah. In other words, it's not a final reading, but it's what you would have thought in an initial stage. This, by the way, is important throughout learning the Gemara in general, that when you want to present a possible understanding of something, it has to have a legitimate basis. Even though in the final picture it may not be accepted, nevertheless, there has to be some logical or reasonable legal basis for thinking what you might have thought. And we'll see that here in our sugya. So now, we've reached the point where we're not going to understand the opening of the Mishnah as a coin being given as a kinyan sudr, as a kinyan chalipin. So then, what is the Mishnah saying? Omar Rav Yehuda, hochi ka'omar. Kol hanishoim domim bi'acher. Anything that is evaluated, that is whose value is estimated in terms of something else. That's a little vague. Let's go over that. Any item that's evaluated in terms of something else. If that something else is a coin, is currency, then what are we describing? We're describing all items. All items have some value, and their value is in terms of money. So all things that have that can be assigned a value, in simple terms, all portables. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Kevon shezocha zeh nischayev bechalipin. If you take an item and you give the portable, the item, the utensil, or whatever, but not coins, you give items to someone in exchange for something else, as soon as the receiver of the item takes it, so then the one who presented the item as the sudar becomes responsible for the item he is interested in acquiring. Let's go over this teaching of Rav Yehuda through Rashi. We'll start with the Rashi, three lines from the bottom of Omer Aleph. Omer Rav Yehuda, hochi komar. Kol ha-nishoim. Nisho means to be evaluated, to be subject to an estimate. Kol ha-nishoim domim be'acher. Kol davar she'imbo l'sitoi domim be'acher. Tzorech l'shumo be'domim. Any item that you want to give someone as a let's say a value payment for something in exchange for something else. Dainu kol hametaltelin bar mimatbeah, all portables except for coins. You evaluate all items in terms of coins. So you don't say that coins are a value. You say that all metaltelin, all portables are items that at one point or another may be subject to an evaluation. So that if I want to give you, let us say, a chair in exchange for your toaster oven, the chair, we assume, is going to have some kind of value that corresponds to the toaster oven. So I'm going to give you my chair, and as soon as you take the chair, I get your toaster oven. Rashi continues at the top of Omid Beis. Kevon shezocha im nosnoi b'toras chalipin. If I give the item, the metaltelin, as a means of clinching a deal. Niknu chalipin lelokeach b'meshicha shemoshach bal hamekach ezeh. If I give the chair as a, we'll say, a symbolic item. The chair is something that, in general, as Rashi said at the bottom of Omen Aleph, that if I want to give the chair as a, say, a value payment, as something having the same value as the toaster oven, so all metaltelin would be subject to an evaluation. Does the chair have a corresponding value to the toaster oven? If I take that same chair and use it as a chalipin, I'm interested in giving you the chair in exchange for whatever, for your luxury automobile. So, but if I'm going to use the chair, but toras chalipin, the chair is an item that is in general nishoim bedomim, is in general evaluated. If I use a chair then as chalipin, so the luxury automobile upon the owner of the car taking the chair, I become the owner of that luxury automobile. Reading Rashi on the top line in the middle, he says, Niknu chalipin lulukach b'mashicha shemoshach pal hamekach hazeh v'ashmina deteres chalipin b'metatalin. The Mishnah is telling us that the idea of chalipin, the symbolic deal clincher that we refer to as chalipin, applies to portables. Ulemeimar diafagav de lesnu kli ela metatalin ba'almo havu chalipin. And the Mishnah adds that even if it's not an actual utensil, it's not a kli, it's something that's merely portable, it can serve as chalipin. V'lo matbea osu lashminan. The Mishnah is not coming to tell me that a coin can be the agent for clinching the deal. And now we continue reading in the Gemara. Daiko nami, careful reading of the Mishnah shows that we're not coming to describe coins as being the catalyst for a kinyan chalipin. How do we know the Mishnah is not telling me about coins? Dikotoni, because it went on to teach me in its example something that was not a coin, and by the way, not a utensil either. Ketzad hechliv shor bepora o chamor b'shor. Someone was exchanging a shor for a pora. Take the shor, and then I get your pora. Take my chamor, take my donkey, and I get your shor. Shma mino. So this shows that Rav Yehuda's reading of the Mishnah is accurate. And now, as we said in our introduction, we're going to review the Hava Amina. The Gemara opened up thinking that the Mishnah was teaching us about coins. The structure of this Gemara from here till the Mishnah is a bit complicated, or it's a bit involved. The next words of the Gemara read, Ulamai desolik adaitin meikora dematbea naase chalipin mai ketzat. The Gemara would appear to be analyzing what I thought originally. Originally, that when we thought that the Mishnah was coming to tell me that a coin can serve as chalipin, what sense were we to make of the illustration that followed in the Mishnah? Now, I said that the structure is a little complicated, because superficially, it would appear from here down till the Mishnah, we're analyzing simply what we would have thought the reading of the Mishnah would be. However, if you read Rashi along the Gemara carefully, you will notice in a couple of lines, the Gemara says, this is fine according to Rav Sheshes. We will have successfully explained the Havamina, and we also have our final reading of the Mishnah as Rav Yehuda presented in the Diamond. However, according to Rav Nachman, and later on in the Mishnah, we'll encounter Reish Lakish, the question is going to be not only what was the Havamina. In other words, the explanation we're going to give now for the Hava Amina is going to be good, as we said, only according to Rav Sheshes. But according to Rav Nachman, and we'll see Reish Lakish later on, we're going to have to reevaluate not only the Hava Amina, but even the final reading, as we were taught by Rav Yehuda in the first diamond. Their approach to the halacha is going to demand an alternative approach to the Mishnah altogether. So that even though right now, on the third line from the top, we're looking into what was the Havamina in describing the coin, and we'll answer what the Hava Mina was. And once we've answered what the Hava Mina was, the Hava Mina means what was the initial thinking of how to read the Mishnah. So we have what the initial reading of the Mishnah could have been. Plus we have Rav Yehuda giving us his final reading of the Mishnah. But according to Rav Nachman, whose name you'll see just a couple lines from here, we have it underlined, and later on the page you'll see Reish Lakish. We're going to have to go over the Mishnah altogether with a different approach, as we will, Mirza Hashem, learn. Then, with that, let's say, involved introduction having been said, we continue now in the Gemara. We already presented the question at hand. Let's read the words again. According to what we thought originally, that the opening of the Mishnah was describing a coin as being the means of establishing a kinyan chalipin, as being the catalyst for clinching a deal. My ketzad. How does the illustration featured in the Mishnah involving the cow and the ox illustrate the coin? So the Gemara answers, Hachi Komar, thusly you would have read the continuation of the Mishnah. And the truth is that the continuation of the Mishnah is not illustrating the case of the coin, but rather it says, Peros nami avdi chalipin, non-utensils, peros meaning literally, peros are fruits or food items. Here we're talking about animals. Peros as well can be the chalipin, can be the means of clinching a deal. In other words, drawing one and causes the owner, the one who presented the item for the chalipin, to become the owner of the other item without actually drawing it. So, peros nami avdi chalipin, food or animals can also, even we'll say non-utensils, general metaltilin, general portables, can also serve as the chalipin. Ketzad, and how do you see that in the case of animals? Hichlif bosar shor bapara, o bosar chamor bashor. I mentioned animals before, it's really the meat of animals. That's peros, food. Rashi, by the way, adds on Bosar Shor, Vekoshikane Shor Chai, the Odiv Tve, the Domi Likli, Shemishtam Shimbo, and all the more so a live animal, which has the characteristics of a utensil in the sense that you use the live animal. But even more than that, even food items, even Basar Shor, Hichlif Basar Shor Bipora, O Basar Chamor Bishor, Kevan Shizoch Hose, Nishayev Bechalipin. If someone took basar shor, some ox meat in exchange for a poro, so you drew the ox meat, I gave you ox meat, I get your poro. Or I gave you donkey meat, I get your ox. Just by drawing one, kevan shezochazeh, when one party draws the meat, nischayev b'chalipov, the original meat owner now becomes the owner of the porab, or the chamor, or I should say, or the shor, wherever it is. And as we said before, if the animal dies, you'll have to eventually pay the full value anyway. Because as soon as you presented the basar, shor, the meat, the ox meat, to the cow owner, and he took the ox meat from you, you became the owner of the para, wherever it is, and you'll have to eventually pay full value for it, even if it happens to die from that point on. Honicha l'Rav Sheshes, di Omar, peros avdi chalipin. This approach works out fine, according to Rav Sheshes, that says that when it comes to the catalyst for establishing a kinyan chalipin, you don't need only that which the pasuk says, a shoe, but you can even use food items as well. We made reference to the shoe v'shalaf ishnalo from the book of Ruth, which is, we'll say, the original case of kinyan chalipin. You don't need, according to Rav Sheshes, specifically a shoe. You can use even food items. So the reading of the Mishnah, as we just suggested, even on the Hava Amina level, works out fine. Elo le Rav Nachman diomer peros lavdi chalipin ma'iko lemeimar. But according to Rav Nachman, who disagrees with Rav Sheshes, their machlokis is presented in Maseches Bava Metzia. Here we're just making reference to their machlokis, which, as I said, it's the main sugya, the main place of where that's discussed is there in a different masech. The masech is Bava Metzia, according to Rav Nachman, who says food items cannot serve as the catalyst for a kinyan chalipin. How are you going to understand the Mishnah? Because the explanation that we just gave, that we saw at the most recent diamond, that Peros Nami Avdi Chalipin, according to Rav Nachman, could not be an explanation for the Mishnah. So what does the Mishnah intend when it teaches me that, it opens up by telling me that coins can be a Chalipin? How does the illustration of the Mishnah possibly work? So the Gemara says, "Hochi ko'amar, yesh domim shehem kechalipin." The Mishnah is telling me that there are cases that cash could serve as chalipin. What we just said is extremely vague, extremely general. And we'll take a look at Rashi, just a couple lines down from here. Rav Nachman's understanding of the Mishnah would be, as we said, "Hochi komer yesh domim shem kechalipin." Rashi says, "Kulo masnisin chado milso komar uve matbe askinon." All of the Mishnah is speaking about one example. This is in contrast to the way we explained the Mishnah before, that there were two examples, one coins and then peros as well. As far as Rav Nachman is concerned, there's only one example, and the Mishnah is focusing on coins. V'hochi ko'omar, and we're going to continue reading in the Rashi. Kol hanase domim be'achir, dahainu matbea, all things that are used to, all that which is used to evaluate other items. Coins are used as the means of evaluating other items. Pe'omim shedomim kinim kamo chalipin denal. Sometimes coins or cash creates a kinyan like the shoe example. V'af kishenasnu b'toras domim. Even when the money was given as a value payment. Now that still, in my opinion, is a little bit vague. The thrust of this explanation would be, and we'll see this more clear in the Gemara later, that in general, coins, just to simply to give a coin to someone from whom you want to purchase an item, and the coin that you're presenting is to as if it were a sudar, as if it were the fabric, a symbolic gesture to clinch a deal, that would not work because of what we said originally, ein matbea nase chalipin. However, the idea of what coins represent value. There are times that value owed could actually clinch a deal. And that's what we need to go on in the reading of the Gemara and then the Rashi to appreciate. Ketzad. Where do you have an illustration of domim that are kechalipin, where cash can serve as chalipin? Hichlif demei shor bepara o demei chamor beshor. Now, once again, the Gemara is extremely terse, and we go to Rashi. Ketzad, hichlif demei shor bepara, mochar lo shor bemona umashcho. Here we have a standard transaction. Mr. A owned a shor, and Mr. B was interested in acquiring the animal. So Mr. B drew the shor. And that created a debt of a mona. A mona, we'll say, $100. So that I was, Mr. A was selling an ox worth $100 to Mr. B, and Mr. B drew the ox. V'nischayev loy ze hamona. And Mr. B, at that point, became obligated to pay Mr. A $100. That is, we've dashed and underlined that in the Rashi. This is where you have the idea of coins, of currency, of value, or more precisely, debt, becoming the means of the chalipin, as you'll see in a moment. So we have $100 of debt owed by Mr. B in exchange for having drawn the ox that he was interested in purchasing. That's a deal clincher. He now owns the ox. Omar lo hamocher. The seller of the shor says, Yesh lecha pora litein bedamim. Do you, by the way, have a cow that you could give me in exchange for the debt that you owe me? Omar lehen, yeah. Yeah, I've got a cow. Shama lo b'mona, obitras. They evaluated the cow to be worth $100 or $50. Pras means half. Omar lo mocher hashor, the original ox seller, who's interested now, we can see he's interested in the pora. He says, Hare mos shato chayev li nesunim loch b'domeo. Hey, the money that you owe me for the ox, keep the money in exchange for the cow that I want. Mois halalu kinim beloy mishichas pora kechalipin de kelim. Here we've got it, the main point. That cash debt, upon their agreement for the cash to be used in lieu of where instead of paying the cash debt, the debt will be paid by transferring the pora. Upon their agreement to that effect, the pora becomes owned by the original ox owner. The original ox owner now just got himself a cow. You notice that it worked without his drawing the cow. And that idea of the deal getting clinched without drawing the cow is the same way chalipin de kelim works. That when you use a utensil for, like, the handkerchief is given from Mr. A to Mr. B. The item that Mr. B has becomes owned by Mr. A without drawing it. Without drawing the item that you're interested in purchasing, you become the owner of it. Same thing over here, with their agreement that the ox money should be kept in exchange for the pora ownership. Without drawing the pora, the original ox owner becomes the owner of the pora. Now, what we have to grapple with is, we've said till now, ein matbea nasa chalipin. The cash payments, cash transfer does not clinch deals. Here we have, in fact, a type of cash payment clinching a deal. And the deal is clinched even without Mashiach. When you focus on the cow, there's no Mashiach done on the cow, and yet its ownership is transferred. My time, the Gemara asks. How does this work? Give us a legal justification for this transaction. The Gemara answers, Sovar lo k'Reb Yochanan. Now we've used a double underline to highlight Reb Yochanan and later Reish Lakish. They have a major machlokis regarding the topic of let's say clinching deals when it comes to metaltalin. So We've highlighted them. You'll see the value of this as we go on in the Gemara. Rav Nachman holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Diomar devar Torah mo'ois kainais. By strict letter of the law, cash payments would clinch deals on portables. That's devar Torah means by letter of the law. According to Torah law, a cash payment clinches a deal. Omatam omru meshicha kaina. Why do the rabbis say that cash payments do not clinch deals, but you need to draw the item? The answer to this is, and we mentioned this in our previous shir as well, gezeiro shemo yoimar lo, we're afraid that if a cash payment clinched a deal, so just imagine someone had some wheat that he was selling. The buyer paid the cash. The wheat owner now has the cash. He couldn't care less about the wheat. And we're afraid that if a fire would break out in that warehouse, the wheat owner, after having received the cash, would say, "Oh, nisrafu chitecho baliyah. Your wheat got burnt in the fire." And the aliyah means in the attic, in the storehouse. So the rabbi said, in order to motivate wheat sellers and sellers of all items to continue caring about the item purchased after a cash payment, we inform them that the money you received did not clinch the deal. And that if a fire breaks out, you should know the guy that paid the money can ask for his money back. That will motivate sellers to care for items that were paid for until the buyer actually draws the item. So what we just described is a rabbinic intervention as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned. The rabbis intervene when you deal with standard cases, common cases. It's common for people to offer cash before they draw items that they're interested in purchasing. Milsa de shchiach gozru ba rabbonan. Common cash payments, the rabbis intervened and said, said the cash is not going to clinch the deal in order to motivate sellers to care for items, as we just explained. Milsa de lo shchiach lo gozru ba rabbonan. Unusual cases where a cash debt was established before any talk of the cash being used in exchange for the sale of a second item, that's an unusual case. The case we described before with the ox being drawn by a cow owner establishing a debt, a cash debt. And only after that was the decision for the cash debt to be used as payment for a cow. That's an unusual situation. In unusual situations, lo, as Gemara says, the rabbis did not intervene. And they left things as letter of the law. And letter of the law says that a cash payment, in this case it was a cash debt that was established by drawing the original ox, that does clinch the deal. And that by their agreeing that the money owed by the buyer of the ox can be kept on his part in exchange for his giving the pora to the original ox owner, that's a function of a milsa de lo shchiach, an unusual transaction. And here the rabbis, as we said, did not intervene. They left things at letter of the law. And letter of the law states that once money is paid, the item for which it's being paid does not need to be drawn in order for the deal to be clinched. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ulareish Lakish, the Omar, Meshicha Mefureshes Minatorah. Reish Lakish stands in contrast to Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish holds that drawing items, drawing portables, is the Torah means of acquisition, and money, cash, does not clinch deals. Cash never clinches deals, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned. Not only on a rabbinic level does cash not clinch deals, as we explained before, but even on a Torah level, cash does not clinch deals. You need to draw the item when you're dealing with portables. How does Reish Lakish deal with our Mishnah? Ha nicha e savar lo kirav sheshes diomar peros avdi chalipin metaretz kirabi kirav sheshes. If you want to explain the Mishnah on behalf of Reish Lakish's approach to things, it could be understood if he holds like Rav Sheshes that other items that are not utensils can serve as the chalipin, the catalyst for clinching a deal. He could set up the Mishnah like Rav Sheshes set up the Mishnah. And how did we do that? Well, we did that by saying Kol Hanishom Domim Be'afir. That was the approach we saw given by Rav Yehuda, the first diamond at the bottom of Amud Aleph. And all of that approach culminated in the Gemara saying Hanicha L'Rav Sheshes, that approach worked out according to Rav Sheshes. That all items that are themselves evaluated, even if they're not utensils, can serve as the catalyst for clinching deals. So if you want to explain the Mishnah for Reish Lakish the same way we did for Rav Sheshes, or as in accordance with Rav Sheshes, then things are fine and smooth. Let's read that again. Honi choi sovelo k'rav sheshes diomar peros avdi chalipin betaritz k'rav sheshes. Elo I sovar lo k'rav Nachmon. If Reish Lakish holds like Rav Nachmon, diomar peros lo avdi chalipin, food items cannot serve as the means of chalipin. Umatbea lo koni. And Reish Lakish's own position is that coins do not, cash payments do not clinch deals. By saying that cash payments do not clinch deals, we're rejecting the way we set up the Mishnah for Rav Nachmon. According to Reish Lakish, cash payment or cash debts don't clinch deals. So how are you going to explain the Mishnah? And once again, whether you're going to go in the Havamina of things or the final reading of things. So the Gemara answers, Al korchoch k'rav sheshes svirole. We have no other choice than saying that Reish Lakish will explain the Mishnah like Rav Sheshes. And that was the way it was presented by Rav Yehuda in the first diamond. Namely, all items that are themselves evaluated, whether they be utensils or non-utensils, or food items, they can serve as the chalipin method of clinching deals. The Mishnah. Reshusko hagavoach bekesef. Ureshus hahedyot bechazaka. This Mishnah, maybe being under the influence of the previous Mishnah, is also a very vague Mishnah. The Gemara will present a braisa that illustrates what the Mishnah means. But for initial simplistic translation purposes, the Mishnah says that the domain of heaven, gavoah means the Beis Hamikdash, heaven, holy, the realm of holiness, is through cash. And the Rishus HaHedyot beChazokah. Rashi immediately says, Chazokah means Meshicha. Because the word Chazokah has alternative explanations in other places. The same word can mean different things in different places throughout the Shas. So here, Rashi is quite essential in explaining chazaka means drawing things, meshicha. So when it comes to the realm of the common, there things are determined by drawing. Ami rosso legavoa kimesi rosso lehedyon. A verbal promise, pledge, heavenwards is tantamount to a physical transfer when it comes to the common, the realm of the common. Tonu Rabbanan. Note, we have a Tanaic source, and we've used some highlighting marking. You can see we've squiggle underlined the word Ketzad here and a few lines later, and underlined the phrases that you saw in the Mishnah, Rishus HaGavoa BeKesef, and then the illustration of Ami Rosso LeGavoa Kemisi Rosso LeHedyo. The Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Rishus HaGavoa BeKesef. What is an illustration of the domain of the holy being in terms of cash? Gizbar Shenosan Mois Bevehema. Gizbar is the treasurer, the temple, the Beis Hamikdash treasurer. Gave money for, paid money for a cow or for an animal. An animal, Rashi adds, for a public sacrifice. So the Beis Hamikdash was responsible for offering public sacrifices. The most prominent of which would be the daily Korban Tomid, Shel Shachar, Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim, when it comes to special occasions, Shabbos and Yom Tov and other holidays. So you have other public sacrifices. So they buy animals. So the Gizbar, representing the Beis HaMikdash, paid cash for an animal. Afilu Behema B'Soif HaOilam, even if the animal was located far away. So you had an animal salesman, an animal merchant, who had herds and flocks at a great distance from the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash representative, the Gizbar, pays him money. Kona, the deal is clinched. When we speak about the deal being clinched, we have to take into consideration that between the time the money is paid and the actual physical possession of the animal on the part of the Beis HaMikdash, there might be a price fluctuation. But at this point, we're saying that as soon as the money is paid, that's it, the deal is clinched. Ubehedyot lo kono ad shimshoch. When it comes to the commoner, this we also saw in the Mishnah, the deal is not clinched until the commoner, draws it. So if you, as a private citizen, want to buy an animal, you may have paid cash for it, but you don't become the owner until you draw it. Ketzad, ami rosso legavoa kemisi rosso lehedyo. Give us an illustration of that idea. Ha'oimer shorze oilo bayeze hegdish. An owner of an animal, of an ox, or a house, says, I'm declaring the ox as a korban ola, as a burnt offering. That's the name of one of the sacrifices. Or he's declaring his house to be hegdish. He's donating the house to the Beis HaMikdash. What the Beis HaMikdash does with the house afterwards, that's their business. But he's now dedicating the house to the Beis HaMikdash. Afilu b'sofa oilam, kona. Even if the house is located far away, or the animal is far away, the deal takes hold. Behedyot lokona, if you were transferring ownership of an animal or house to a commoner, then the deal is not clinched. We continue at the top of Daf Chof Tes, ad sheyimshoch v'yachzik, until the shore would be drawn, and until the purchaser would take hold of the house, would use the house as a house owner would. And now the Gemara gives us illustrations of, we'll say, the Beis HaMikdash involvement in transactions. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, four mikrim, four cases. Shehedyot Rochesh Chefetz Mehegdish, where a commoner acquires an item from the Beis HaMikdash, Im Shinui Mechir Bamsa, with a change in price in the interim. When we speak about interim, we're referring to cash payment and drawing of item. Which takes place first, which second, we'll let the Gemara illustrate that. But the idea of Be'emsa means between one of those two events. There's a cash payment and the drawing of the item. Shnei Mikrim, in two cases, Shekidem Moshach, in two of the four cases you'll see an initial drawing of the item, Ubishnei Mikrim Shekidem Shilem. And in two of the cases, the payment is made first. And as we said, there will be a price fluctuation in the interim. Under the Mivneh, the structural note, you'll see we've highlighted the expression my taima, where at each point the Gemara will ask, what's the reason for your ruling? So case number one, Moshchoi Bemona, a commoner was redeeming an item that had been sanctified. So he's buying something from the Beis HaMikdash. So the commoner drew the item from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Gizbor, from the temporal treasurer, and the item was understood to be worth $100. So at the point that the Meshicha was done, the item was worth $100. You would think that the commoner will have to pay $100 in cash. However, he didn't actually redeem it, meaning he didn't actually pay the money to the Gizbar until the market value of that item went up to $200. So now the commoner that drew the item, was the deal clinched at the point that he drew the item? No. You see here, he'll have to pay $200. That's what the Gemara says, no same Masayim, he pays $200. My taima. Why does he have to pay $200? Why was the drawing not enough? The Pasuk says, V'nosan ha-kesef ikomlo. When you're redeeming something from the Beis HaMikdash, it says you pay the cash, and then you get it. But until the cash is paid, it's not, you didn't get it yet. And if you insist on maintaining the item, on keeping the item, you'll have to pay the full $200. Another case, Moshchoi b'Masayim, v'lo hispik livdoisat shomad b'mona. A commoner drew a portable from the Beis HaMikdash, and at the time he drew it, the market value was $200. He didn't pay for it yet. Ad shomad b'mona, until the price dropped, and it's worth only $100. No same Mosayim. He has to pay the full $200. My time up. Why, in this case, do you say that even though he was dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, it seems that the deal is clinched with the drawing of the item? And that when you drew the item, it was worth $200. That's it. That's the deal is clinched. You have to pay $200. Why? you're drawing from Hekdesh. So the Gemara answer is, Lo yehe kayach hetyot chomor mi Hekdesh. We don't want a situation where the power of commoners would be greater than that of Hekdesh. Rashi, on the fourth line from the top, says, Lo yehe kayach hetyot, shimoshchom yad hetyot, if you were drawing the item from a commoner, yishalim kol moisov, you'd have to pay the full $200, tekonah b'mashicha, through drawing, you acquire it. And it's in the possession of the purchaser that it went down in value. So we don't want a situation where amongst commoners, so the deal would be clinched at the higher price, and with the Beis HaMikdash, not so. So we say that in such a case where the price went down, we don't want the Beis HaMikdash losing out. And just to repeat ourselves, just like in a case of drawing from commoners, the original owner will benefit the full 200, so too the Beis HaMikdash, who in this case is the original owner, will benefit the full 200. And that's what we mean when we say we don't want the Koyach of the Hedyo to be greater than the Koyach of Hekdash. The Gemara continues, case 3. Pod oi b'mosayim. Notice here, we have first cash is paid. So a commoner paid the Beis HaMikdash 200. V'lo hispik l'moshchoi ad she'omad b'mona. He didn't actually draw the item until the price went down on it. Noisein mosayim. The money that he paid, the full 200 remains such, remains paid. And it's true that when you eventually draw the item, it's worth much less. Doesn't matter. You paid 200 to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? My taima. Paying the Beis HaMikdash. That pasuk, once again, as we said before, is a reference to one redeeming things from the Beis HaMikdash. The payment of the money clinches the deal. So once you paid the 200, you redeemed it. It's yours, even if you didn't actually draw it. And now we have an exceptional case. In other words, when we say exceptional, as we go through the case, you might think one thing on your own, and you might have a surprise ruling at the end. Podei b'mona, you paid the Beis HaMikdash 100. V'lo hispik l'moshcho ad she'omad b'mosayim. And you didn't draw it until it went up in value. Ma shepoda podui, that which you paid is the redemption, is the payment. V'ein noisein elamona. And all that you have to pay at the end of the day is the amount that you did pay, the 100. But in light of what we had before, we ask, Amai hochinami, why do you say that the Beis HaMikdash gets only 100? If, let us say, you were dealing with a commoner, you were buying an item from someone, and you paid him in advance the 100, you didn't draw the item, the seller, could he insist on the full 200? Yep. Why? Well, we said when you're dealing with commoners, deals are not clinched until you do Mashiach, until you do the drawing. Here, there was no drawing when the first 100 was paid. Amai, the Gemara, so why is it that the Beis HaMikdash does not get the full 200? Hochinami neima, why not say over here as well, lo yehei koyach hedyot chomer mehekdash? Let it not be that the strength of the commoner should be greater than that of Hekdash. And in the case of the commoner, the seller, who's a hedyot, would get the full 200. Shouldn't the Beis HaMikdash be entitled to the same? The Gemara answers, in the case of the commoner, of the hedyot, where, let us say, money is paid in advance. 100 was paid before Mashiach was done. And the item in the interim went up to 200. And the seller wants to retract. He wants to say, hey, I don't want to go through with this. I want to call off the deal. I could get 200 from someone else. Could he do that? So, in the realm of the hedyot, by letter of law, he could do that. He wouldn't be called a thief. However, he would be subjecting himself to a curse. The curse is known as Mi Shepara. We're not going to elaborate on the curse. The Mi Shepara, Me'anshe Dora, Mabul, Me'anshe Dora, Floka, etc. That's discussed elsewhere. Suffice it to say that a person who, after receiving money, the actual value of the item at the time that he received the money, people like that back out on deals are doing something that we find unacceptable, reprehensible, subjecting such people to a curse. So in a sense, even on the hedyot level, there's a certain level of deal clinching. As we said, not on the purely financial Torah level of things, but on a rabbinic level, the Misha Pora level, the deal is clinched. So the Gemara says, Otu Hedyot Lapa Misha Pora Koi. If you were dealing with a commoner, would he be able to back out so easily? No. He too, if he were to try to back out, would be subjecting himself to the curse. So we say that even when you're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, when you paid the 100, true, it went up in value before you did the Mashicha, but the deal is said to be clinched at the 100 mark. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.